We'll continue here with Stephen's message, and again, kind of using it to some extent as an outline and seeing these different things that he refers to, seeing the implication, the background, the content, the punch behind the reason he is mentioning those things. You got to remember, those are the Jews that he's speaking to and preaching to here in Jerusalem. And so there's a lot of these things that he just refers to. They know about the background. They know what's said in the scripture. Those scribes that have been there or that are there and listening on to what he's preaching, they know what's in the Word of God. And when he makes a reference to a thing, they know the broader scope of it and what's going on with it. I think that we'll see that kind of in the case tonight and what we take a look at. And last time, he talked about this tabernacle of witness and how it was where the tabernacle given by the Lord. No other thing had been done. Those that make edifices to their God, they make them the way it suits them because their God suits them in the first place. And so, but the Lord gave the pattern. He gave it to Moses how he wanted it made and the fashion of it as it speaks in verse 44 of chapter 7. And then Joshua, used of the Lord, and these things here are kind of mixed up and jumbled up to some extent. These references up here in verse 43 about taking up the tabernacle of Molech, going after the star of Remphan. They may have done that during the time of the judges. They may have done that subsequently in the time of the kings after David. King Solomon had many wives. Had many wives that led his heart and drew his heart away. And all kinds of things that Solomon, during the time of his reign, he ended up building. And two other gods. And so the Lord says, I'm going to give you up to Babylon. I'm going to give you up to the source of all that false worship. And so in verse 45, he says here with Joshua, that reference to Jesus there, it's talking about Joshua. It is interesting that Jesus is used there. Because that's what Stephen is doing. He's saying it is all about Jesus Christ. He's the fulfillment of it. He's that one that's been promised. And once again, as it has been with the pattern of our nation, with the pattern of our people, as a whole, there's a remnant, but as a whole, we've denied him. We've rejected him. We've rejected God once again, Stephen is telling him. And he says here, in verse 45, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, the Canaanites, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers under the days of David. Do you know what kind of time frame that is? That's like 325, 350 years, plus another 40 for Saul, and then King David. The Lord working and doing such wonderful things that he has promised for Israel. His word being spoken and then his word being brought to pass. And yet they denied him. Yet they rejected him. Yes, yet they went away from him. And he goes on here, who found favor in verse 46. David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. He desired a place. He desired to bring the tabernacle to him. He desired to have it close to him. He did some things that weren't right about it, and he learned some hard lessons. And he learned those lessons by others dying. But he desired to have the presence of the Lord close to him. And so it goes on here to say that, and David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, a place of his habitation. But he couldn't because of how the Lord used him and being a bloody man and that. Who found favor, verse 46, before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High, Solomon built him that house. And it was great until the day that it was tore down. I believe it is Nebuchadnezzar, right, came in and destroyed, if I'm thinking right, if I'm remembering right, he came in and destroyed that first temple that Solomon had built, Solomon's temple, he destroyed it. But Stephen goes away from that and he tells about, he's going to speak to this and bring this to a point here, and then we're going to go to Isaiah 66 and take a look. But in this history of Israel, some 850 years from the time of the children of Israel coming into the land of Canaan till the last king that ruled a little bit, Jehoiachin, 825 to 850 years, God poured out his blessings upon his people, and they rejected him. They missed him. They didn't get the big, best blessing of the Lord, did they? There were those amongst them that did. There was that remnant amongst them that did. But 800 and some years that the Lord's nation was first in existence. You know, here we are, we've just passed in our nation the 200 year mark, give or take, right? I mean, well, not give or take, but what, 225, something like that, 230 years? 40 years. And we're going down quick. Why? Because we're taking God out of everything. Taking God out, we become a godless nation. There's to be no state church. There's to be no state-supported religion, if you will, or state-funded religion. No state-funded ministers. But a freedom so that those that want to worship in the way that they want to worship can do so. But then that foundation and the principles that we honor God. And you know what? In thinking about and the things that are coming on with our nation is a Christian. It was founded on Christian principles, on the Word of God. And so we desired a freedom. Our forefathers desired a freedom to worship God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ. I say that for the sake of the Muslims. That's what our country was founded on, a freedom to worship him. But that freedom is now essentially being used on us. Why? Because we've gone away from that God. You have a national monument that's remodeled. What do? They take out the scriptures. I was thinking about that the other day. Somebody's got a book that they've written and with pictures of it, of the before and after of the national monuments. And now when they've been on a pattern over the last several years, when they remodel a national monument, they take the scripture references out. They take the references to God out. It's a subtle, subtle thing, but they take them away. And our nation, because we've gone away from the God, Jehovah God, we've gone away from honoring and acknowledging him in the aspect of our nation. That same freedom upon which our country was founded on is going to be the freedom that's going to take us down to the grave. Right? Because what's going on? Every wicked abomination type of religion and worship is coming in. And you know what they're doing? They're after our children. After our children. Other nations are coming into our country and taking over. Why? Because we're going away from God. Why? Because you and I, we haven't been as vocal to speak about the Lord as Savior. We haven't taken a stand for Jesus Christ. I say you and I because we're the ones here tonight. It's easy to blame somebody that's not here. But we haven't stood. We haven't stood in the principles of the Lord. We haven't taken and conveyed that and been a witness to the world. To some extent in our churches, I believe we've kind of withdrawn. We've kind of pulled into ourselves. And we've kind of said, well, it's comfortable here and we can serve and worship the Lord here, but we haven't gone out and shown it to the rest of the world. May God help us. Because of that, because of going away from the Lord, he will make, what was it he said to Israel? He said, you follow me, you obey me, I'll make the botch and the evil disease and this stuff and that stuff and the other stuff, I'll take that and I'll suppress it. You know what the Lord has done for our country? He has suppressed over the past centuries, he has suppressed the demonic activity amongst the people of our nation. But what's going on now? Rock and roll music flourishes and it's just an avenue for devilishness. And now people, the piercing, the tattooing, the weirdness of those kind of things. That's not the problem. That's just a symptom of what the problem is. Following after the ways of Satan. And by going away from God, the Lord will take his restraining hand off and that stuff will just creep right on in. Satan knows. Satan knows. He knows how to do it. And that's the way it was with Israel. 800 and some years. And Solomon built him a house, it says in verse 47. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, Stephen says when he gets down to it. As saith the prophets, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And what house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all things? And can you make a house for me to squeeze into? You know why that is and why it is? Solomon built him a house, but then Solomon went wayward. And the Lord was honored and glorified in that house for a time until what we read there in Ezekiel last time about what the elders of Israel were doing in their heart and the abomination that was set up in the Lord's house. But you know where the Lord really, really desires and looks forward to and enjoys dwelling? In the souls of His people. In the souls of His people. He inhabits eternity, He tells us. But He desires and He looks forward to and He enjoys living in and moving amongst His people. The Lord said to His church, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. I've desired to institute the supper for you to remember my death. And I'm looking forward to the day when we can enjoy it in my kingdom. Amen. Together. Together. And as He prays for us in John 17, turn to Isaiah 66. And let's take a look at this reference here. And these Jews that are listening on, some of them wouldn't, but some of them would. They would remember where it is that Stephen is quoting from about this reference of the Lord, of Solomon building him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Look at the witness of the Lord just in the creation and His greatness. Yet we won't listen to Him. We got to listen to Him. And we know we need the Spirit of God within. And all we need to pray that the Lord would move upon those that are not saved. That the Lord would visit them with a visitation only as He can and save them. Because without Him, they are dead and dying. And you know what? We need to pray that the Lord, we got revival services coming up. We need to pray the Lord of God. The Lord will take His Spirit and stir us up that are alive. Amen. We need stirred up. We need stirred up. We need change. We need sin put from us. Hath not my hand made all these things? What house will you build me? And so in this passage here in Isaiah 66, we just want to take a look here at these verses in this last chapter, this final chapter of the book of Isaiah. The Lord's account of where He lives and what He will do. This is the Lord's account of where He lives and what He's going to do. You know, that begs a question. Where are you going to live? And what are you going to do? Amen? Where are you going to live and what are you going to do? Here in Isaiah 66 verse 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? What can you really provide for me? For all those things hath my hand made and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man I will I look. You ready? This is who the Lord is interested in. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Broken down before God. Submissive to the Lord. Broken hearted before the Lord because of his sin. Broken hearted before the Lord because God is so great and we are so low. That is the one that the Lord esteems. The repentant, amen? It's the repentant, the one that bows down to the Lord. The Lord says that in time every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. But the Lord loves that one that'll bow the knee now, amen? Loves that tongue that'll confess Him now before the world, before a lost and dying world, and confess Him as Savior. And look here, of a contrite spirit and trembleth at My word. Do you and I tremble at the word of the Lord? When the Lord, we read the Bible, and we have that time that we read and we meditate upon the word of God, we hear the preaching of the word of God, is it just so much more information again? Or does it really touch us? Does it stir us? Does it move us? Because that's what the Lord's looking at. Not, yeah, I've heard that before, and it's the same old story and same old line. But trembleth, has contrition before the Lord, has a bowing down in heart before the Lord. And when the Lord speaks, His people say, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, You are right. Look at these that the Lord is not pleased with. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. Doesn't want to give sacrifice to the Lord. Taking that ox and sacrificing it as the Lord commanded him to do so. The Lord provided him the ox. It's like he's committed murder. It's like when we reach into our pocket to give our tithe and our offering and we just can't get it out to let it go. Listen, God will get it one way or the other. Plan on it. Count on it. He'll get it one way or the other. One way or the other. But He's given to us so that we may give it back to Him, amen? So we might use it in His service. So we might support the church. So we might support the man of God. We might support the missionary, support the work of the Lord. But this man, he can't stand it. It's like he's murdering a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. It's just required of him. But he despises having to go there and do it. It's just abhorring to Him. The service of the Lord is no glory, no blessing, no benefit. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. And for the Jew, that'd be a terrible, terrible thing. Don't want to worship the Lord the way that He commands. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, the Lord says, because of the heart. Isn't that what Stephen, all the things that he talked about, wasn't it a problem of the heart with the people? Those that rejected Moses, those the patriarchs that took and abused Joseph, those that rejected the Lord as He delivered Israel, it's a problem of the heart, isn't it? Inside, they don't want God. On the outside, it might make it all nice and sweet and smooth, but on the inside, that's where the Lord's looking, folks. You can't fake God out. We can't fake God out. We can come and be in services and be pious and most right and religious. But the Lord knows. You know what? The Lord knows if I've got a grudge against you. The Lord knows if I really hate you in my heart. If I despise you, the Lord knows that. And whether you find out or not, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And we need to see that and realize that. Yea, they have chosen their own ways. Wasn't that what Stephen said about the children of Israel? They rejoiced in the works of their own hands. And their soul delighteth in their abominations. Justifying ourselves, justifying our way, justifying the fruit that we want to have, rather than seeking and pressing and desiring the fruit that the Lord wants us to bear, that's like Jesus Christ, that's found in Jesus Christ. Amen? I also will choose their delusions. I will bring their fears upon them. When it comes down to the time that they realize that it's too late, when the time is past, because amongst men, we know the working and the sovereignty of the Lord, sure. But in reality, with man living in time, with that one that screams out because they're going from this life out into eternity, into hell, and it's too late. It's too late. They're hanging on to living, and they can't hang on. And the Lord is far, far, far away. Because they've sought their own way. The Lord will add to it. I will choose their delusions. I will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Isn't that what Joshua said? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The Lord's way is what's implied. The Lord's way. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at His word. Now He's back to those that tremble at His word, that fear Him, that love Him, that bow the knee to Him, that bow the heart to Him, that bow the soul to Him. Your brethren that hated you. Those that Stephen's preaching to, they know what this passage says. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my sake and said, let the Lord be glorified, but He shall appear to your joy and they shall be ashamed. Those ones that took you and abused you and did away with you and killed you, saying that they were doing God's service, they're going to be ashamed and you're going to rejoice. That's what Stephen's going to do as we see this and as we wrap up this chapter 7. They shall be ashamed. The voice of noise, verse 6, from the city. The voice, a voice from the temple. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to His enemies. God will repay, right? Vengeance is His. Have that wicked thought and imagination and heart towards your brother. Yeah, you're not on your way to hell because you're redeemed. But the Lord will take it. The Lord will work it. You that are without Jesus Christ, you have hatred in your heart and your soul for your neighbor, for mankind, those, God will requite it and payday will come. And He will render for it. We think, I've mentioned this before, we think that because recompense doesn't happen now, God can't just bring recompense the way it'll really, really be meet and match up. Yeah, He will. Because God can make time stop, and He can bring everything in time to remembrance, and then He can meet it out right there. Brothers and sisters, what do we have to answer for as a child of God? Lost sinner, what do you have to answer for? Every sin you've committed. God will meet it out. He will meet it out. He will recompense to His enemies. Before she travailed, in verse 7, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. I don't know what all that is necessarily talking about. But I know the Lord birthed His nation in Egypt. I know that what He started in Abraham, He brought to pass, didn't He? And then He ultimately brought it to pass in bringing Jesus Christ. Amen. And then He visits us with His gospel and with His word, and He borns us again, doesn't He? He births us again. The Lord, He starts a thing. When He starts it, He finishes it. Amen. When He starts it, He finishes it. It's not a game. He's not playing. It's for real. And He's going to bring all that He's created and all that He's done, He's going to bring it to His end one day. He's going to bring it to pass. But naturally, in our hearts and minds, what do we think? Well, things have been the same all my life. What really important is it that I should pursue after righteousness? After all, I'm missing out on the fun. What is it? Does the Lord really see? Does the Lord really hear? You that are not saved, is that what you think? It's just so much a story, but not really, really real. Oh, see that it is true. Shall I Verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith thy God. No, he's going to bring it all to pass. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. Listen, what's the qualifier? All ye that love her. Do you love Jerusalem? If our nation went and made a stand against Jerusalem, would you stand against that stand? Jerusalem is God's city, folks. Even though the Muslims are in there it's kind of like busted up in thirds, I believe. But even though the aliens have assaulted Jerusalem and are in a Jerusalem, God still loves her and everything she stands for. And we do need to, too. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. What a reference. But is it not because of the Lord's nation that salvation's been brought to you and me? And is it not because of God's promise of the millennial reign that the whole earth will be blessed out of Jerusalem because he will reign there? Is it not that in the new heaven and the new earth that the capital city is going to be New Jerusalem? Amen. Because through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through the promise of God, he's brought his promises to pass. And the whole world has been blessed and will be blessed because of the Lord's nation and city. Like a child being fed. We've been blessed. And we that are saved are going to be blessed from the Lord's nation and city. He said that ye may suck, verse 11, and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out. You see that little baby, and we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to have that to see. He's going to feed on his bottle. He's going to nurse and all that. You know how that baby, he eats good and everything. Right about the time when they get to where they can sit up and they go, I'm full. I can't take another drink. I mean, that's just cute, isn't it? I mean, they eat and 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 then I just can't take no more. That's what that's talking about. The blessings overflow upon us and being there with the Lord and being there with the Lord in the millennial reign and that. Be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Verse 12, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. To Jerusalem and the glory of the Gentiles, like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be born upon her sides, and shall be dandled upon her knees. Just like baby Boo's going to be, Lord willing, by Natalie. She's going to care for him, she's going to feed him, going to enjoy him. And it's going to be cute. It's going to be a blessing. There's just something about that that's good. That's what the Lord's referring to there. That's you and me on Israel, folks. That's you and me on Jerusalem and the Lord's people, the Lord's nation, the Lord's city. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Where is it that Stephen's preaching? Right there in Jerusalem. Right there in Jerusalem. And at that point, they don't know. They've been told of the Lord that the Gentiles are going to be saved. But they haven't seen it and experienced it yet. Go back and take a look in the book of Acts. It's not happened yet. It's coming. It's coming. But the Lord is going to bring the Gentiles in. Verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Talking about to those that have a contrite spirit and tremble at the Lord's word, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Where are you? Are you on the servant's side, or are you on the enemy's side? Listen, don't be God's enemy. Don't be the Lord's enemy, because you won't win. You will not win. Don't be the Lord's enemy, but repent and believe the gospel. What's it go on to say? Verse 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire upon his adversary, upon his enemies. The Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Will you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Not religion, not baptism, not being a church member, but without the Lord Jesus Christ having died for you on Calvary and been buried and rose again, you die without that, without him, you die without that salvation, to the fire you're going, folks. To the fire you're going. And you can't put it out of your mind enough. You can't ignore it enough. You can't talk it down enough, because he will bring it to pass. With his fury, with his rebuke, with flames of fire. Verse 16, for by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. With his word, with his sword, and with fire. He'll plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Will that be you? They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together with the Lord. Every abomination and wickedness and sin is going to be dealt with by the Lord. Do you have Jesus Christ to answer for yours? Or are you there by yourself? Child of God, are we wayward in heart? Or are we up there close to the Lord? The mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Verse 18, for I know their works and their thoughts. You know, we need to tremble at that more, folks. We that are saved, we need to tremble more at the Lord knowing what's going on up here. In our society and in our nation and where we live, the thinking is thought to be exempt from the view of the Lord. We need to be of a pure heart and a pure mind, a pure heart towards our neighbor, a pure heart towards our brother and sister, a pure heart towards our kin and our family, a pure heart. Because if the heart's right, if the soul's right, then everything else will be. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. In this passage, I wonder, is it talking about the millennial reign? Or is it talking about the new heaven and the new earth? There's kind of references that go both ways. It makes me go back and forth. Maybe that's what he's doing, is jumping around. But everybody's going to see the glory of the Lord. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, to Pul, to Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and to Javan, to the isles far off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering. The world is going to know about the Lord. And there's something here that's going to be that the Jews, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. If the Jew is there amongst them, they'll say, let me load you up and take you for a ride and take you over to Jerusalem, because that's where I know you need to be, because you're a Jew. They'll be glad to do it. The way that Israel would, and a man in Israel, one in Israel would bring their sacrifice, their oblation to the tabernacle, to the temple in a clean vessel. That's the way they'll take. They took it very carefully, did they? They didn't want it to get dirty, did they? They didn't want it to be defiled, did they? And they were very ginger and very careful to take that sacrifice there, because of all the world seeing the glory of the Lord, they'll take the Jew up. They won't abuse the Jew. They won't slander the Jew. They won't spit on the Jew. They won't kill. They'll take the Hebrew, and they'll take him, and they'll take him over there to Jerusalem carefully. Because why? There's people. Why? Because they got to honor the Lord. Why? Because the Lord omnipotent reigneth. And that's the way he says it's to be. Oh, how it will be Verse 21, "And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord." There's that reference to the new heaven, new earth. "So shall your seed and your name remain, as long as the new heaven and the new earth remains before God. His children will remain there." You know how long we live? We that have been given eternal life, we live as long as Jesus does. Forever and forever and forever. Amen. Verse 23. "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." Everybody that's there is going to worship. In that millennial kingdom, everybody is going to come and worship. Everybody is going to have a kind consideration for the Jew and the Lord's people there that remain and live in that day. But everybody's going to worship. Worship now, worship later. You're going to bow the knee and worship God one way or another. And then look at this next part. "And they shall go forth as they come to worship. They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die." That's the soul. Soul isn't going to die. "Neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." How will it be there in the millennial reign? Will those that be there in the millennial reign be able to look down into hell and see those that are there burning? Will those that of us that will be there, that are saved, that will be there in the new heaven and the new earth, will we be able to look down into hell, the lake of fire, and see those, the carcasses of those that have been disobedient against God, burning forever? Sometime, someplace, somewhere, it's going to be that way. And Stephen says, the Lord says, "Well, how can you build me a house?" And once again, he pulls the scripture there and the reference there in that latter part of Isaiah. Are you the enemy of God? Or are you the child of God? Are you serving God His way? Or are you most disobedient in your heart? How is it with you? In Acts chapter 7, "Heaven is my throne, and I will live with my people. Earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord?" Verse 49 of Acts 7. "Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things?" He's made everything, and he desires, looks forward to, and enjoys living within his people, living with his people for eternity. How about you? Are you here tonight and not saved? Are you without Jesus Christ and have your load and condemnation of sin with no hope? You're a sinner, and we point you to Jesus. Can't save yourself. Can't bring any kind of righteousness, any kind of thing. All your righteousness, the best you've got, are as filthy rags that wrap up a dead man. The best, our best, is trash. Filthiness before God. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ.